Nigeria Radio, bringing Nigerians in diaspora up to speed.
Well, Spirit of Nigeria Radio is still on, and we are continuing our country review on COVID-19 vaccine. Throughout today, we've been looking at the COVID-19 vaccine in Nigeria, the dynamics of it, the public awareness of it, and right now we'll be going into some other subject. We'll be looking at how Nigerians can benefit from the COVID-19 vaccine. And right now I have with me somebody who is competent enough to speak about it, and I am talking about Mr. Larry Suraj, he's the coordinator ASCAP and chairman HEDA Resource Center. All right, my brother, how are you, sir? Good afternoon, and how are you doing today?
I'm very well, thank you. Good afternoon, and thanks for having me on your wonderful program.
All right, it's our pleasure to have you. Okay, for starters, what is HEDA and ASCAP?
Oh, okay, so HEDA Resource Center, which is the HEDA, you called it. It's a civil society non-profit organization in Nigeria.
HE sounds like His Excellency.
But we make Nigerians and indeed Africans the center of excellence and our own excellence, in not the people in the public who are benefiting from the effects of and in many instances, even failing to deliver on the purpose for which they get paid.
I hear you, sir.
Just for excellency. about
I feel you, sir. Go ahead.
So, HEDA Resource Center is a non-profit Nigerian registered organization that is involved in environmental justice, human capacity building, and social justice also for Nigerians and Africans. I am working within the Nigerian laws and the African human rights instruments and the international accountability instruments as well to promote justice of its purpose. With ACAB, it is the Alliance for COVID-19 and Beyond, which is an alliance and then a coalition of individuals, organizations, and other networks as well that are concerned about the implications of COVID-19 for the downtrodden, and also promoting inclusive and non-discriminatory social justice for Nigerians and also victims of the COVID-19.
Oh, that sounds good. I like that. Are you based in only Lagos?
No, ASCAP is a national alliance and coalition. It has the chapters in all the states of the federation, and some states are coordinated by another state where we don't have sufficient members. I am just also coordinator, the deputy coordinator for Lagos, and the chairman of the finance committee of the national fund.
Okay, that's good. Okay, so you are competent enough to speak about some of the things that we will be talking about. All right, let's start with, since you are the deputy coordinator in Lagos, what's your view about, COVID-19 in Lagos vis-a-vis the number of people tested, and are we doing well? I mean, we're doing less than 2% of the population. Are we doing well?
I think the one thing that Nigeria, particularly, and most of the countries in Africa are enjoying is permanently good nature of the nature itself, the environment. These are the most exceptional. The hotness of our weather, that is also with the current situation now, that makes very much difficult for the spread of COVID-19 has actually assisted naturally, and not that we have consciously worked towards reducing the spread of the COVID-19.
True.
Also on the side of the people, I can say we have performed below expectation. We have performed below average. And that really is not enough for us, which is also giving us the clear understanding to know that as it is now, our reported number of cases are most likely, and that I can tell you for with every sense of confidence, underreported. The other number of recoveries are also under recorded. The same thing goes to even the number of casualties, because people are engaging in unorthodox means of treating the ailment. Quite a number of people would not even go for tests, even when they have the symptoms. Unfortunately, and very sadly so, some government officials, especially at the local government, have decided on their own to either commercialize the testing process using the official government testing kit, or outrightly deny to test people with suspected symptoms of the COVID-19. So generally, and I can say, even with personal experience as well, that
yes,
we've done really badly in terms of testing and also data to give us a very good understanding of our experience with COVID-19.
Ooh, I like that. I like your submission. I mean, most of the people we speak with, you know, tend to commend government and give excuses or reasons. But I like, you know, your own stand. You put it squarely based on data, on experience. And the conclusion is that we are not doing well in the area of testing. And when you were talking about underreported cases in terms of recovery, casualty, and even tests, you made some allusion to, you know, nature and all of that. Reminds me of when I interviewed the Director General of the Nigerian Institute of Medical Research. He said his own joke is that those places where COVID is ravaging them more than Nigeria, there are two clean places. We are used to our gutters, we are used to all kinds of things. So COVID is not doing as much harm as if those places are too clean, you know. And, you know, instead of mixing it, so our bodies have developed some form of immunity, you know, to COVID. Yeah, you know, that was his one. It was a joke, really, you know. Nothing really scientific, but something that just, you know, because everybody's wondering why COVID is not ravaging us as much as it ought to, given our poor level or low level of medical healthcare and our medical system here.
Yeah, I mean, it's correct to the extent that the immunity of quite a number of Nigerians, especially, and many of the Africans, is generally just incited before now to deal with such viruses and also ailments. Unlike the our brothers and sisters from the Western world.
True.
The fact that, you know, we also deploy the use of some, like I said earlier, unorthodox, but which is the herbal means through which that we also attempt to prevent or cure the ailment that arises from the virus. One of the things that is really counting for us. The other point is the fact that, you know, we can easily get medication without even prescription. So in the Western world, where your treatment is only made possible after diagnosis,
yes,
and all forms of examination, here it is possible to get you know, the hydroxychloroquine without even going to the hospital and having to wait and queue. So you can do some kind of self-medication and treatment, which sometimes really work. Sometimes it could be catastrophic for some people, but you have no reason to doubt the fact that it works in quite a number of cases around here.
Yeah, you're right. Okay, so let's get down now to COVID-19 vaccines. Nigeria has purchased or acquired 4 million doses of COVID vaccines. First of all, what does that mean to you, given a population of over 22 million? Is it adequate, and did we choose the right vaccine?
You said 22 million, but we are saying about 200 million. You wanted.
No, sorry, 200 million, I meant.
Yeah, and that is looking at such an infinitesimal percentage of just 4 million out of the 200 plus million population of Nigeria. That is really quite insignificant for a country like Nigeria. It is the same abysmal performance that we're experiencing in terms of our testing capacity that we have just displayed in also the acquisition of the vaccine. Reality is that the particular one that has been acquired by Nigeria, yes, it is the variant that is working more for our area of location, and its efficacy has been proven to be better in terms of also dealing with our location in the global geographical location. The other point is the fact that it is also cheap enough to have bought more than enough for the country. Unfortunately, we still have, and sadly so, we still have the conspiracy theories who are found both in our religious and political affiliations, still claiming that, you know, COVID does not exist, you know, it is money-making venture for government, and all that nonsense that has been going around here. And going by the level of illiteracy within the system, it is actually gaining ground, and unfortunately is exposing the people to the challenge of the increasing spread of the virus. So the vaccine that is bought, yes, it is okay for our location and our people. The number is very, very embarrassing of the quantity purchased so far. I have no doubt that even that little number and more that will be purchased will be subject of very serious malpractices and corrupt practices by the public officials. And you will be shocked to see that the cost of purchasing 4 million numbers here in Africa, in Nigeria, will probably be used by other African countries to buy like 20 million doses of the vaccine. Yes, I think that is what we would like to see with our experience.
But looking at the cost, you know, one of the reasons why Nigerians, or well, Nigeria as a country cannot purchase more than 4 million is the cost, you know, the attendant huge cost to purchasing it. And of course, when you buy 4 million, if you really want, since they have to take two doses, you are really talking about 2 million people. Isn't the cost a factor here? even though you've alluded or you are making assertions that it certainly will be more expensive for Nigeria or to Nigeria than other African countries. But given our poor economic conditions, can we afford more than 4 million at this point?
Oh, yes. I can bet that we can afford far more, either by our own self-buying or even the donations that we're likely to get from development partners that would be willing to donate to Nigeria. What two of the critical factors, like I said, is the inflationary cost of purchase that you would associate with Nigeria. So, like I said, I can assure you that the cost of purchasing that 4 million doses would be sufficient to buy, or would have been sufficient to buy about 20 million doses. The economic situation, the cost implication of actually losing lives is far, far more higher than the cost of actually purchasing those vaccines. But it's the function of where do we place our premium. I mean, the cost of buying an average dose is less than $30. You know, we now look at the country saying it's budgeted about 500 and something billion naira to buy and then also distribute the vaccines. Then you can imagine what I'm talking about. With 580 plus, about 584 or something, that would go a very long way in buying even over 100 million doses of the vaccine.
Afrobeat music, sounds from the African continent to the world. Listen to Afrobeat Sunday Jump on Spirit of Nigeria Radio. Sundays, 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. Nigeria time. Afrobeat Sunday Jump on Spirit of Nigeria Radio. The best of Afrobeat Nigeria. Afrobeat Nigeria at its best. Spirit of Nigeria Radio. Bringing Nigerians in diaspora up to speed. Nigeria Radio, bringing Nigerians in diaspora up to speed.
With the implementation plan, the president has taken his very first dose. Top public functionaries, government officials have taken. Are you satisfied with the way government is going about the implementation of the COVID-19 vaccine, especially with, you know, and I like to say this, with the elderly? You know, so even if you're a 35-year-old House of Rep member, why should you take before an 80-year-old person, given the higher risk that is attendant, you know, with that age? I mean, does help us make sense out of what government is trying to do? Does it make sense?
No, I mean, so it is always the challenge that we have with the kind of orientation that we forced to deal with in terms of our politicians, our ruling elite, and politically exposed persons. For them, it is considered they are the first set of citizens when it comes to security privileges. Short supply of police personnel actually police our houses, environment, and community. You will find the member of Houses of Assembly and the National Assembly still having two or three police officers and DSS officials, you know, securing them and even carrying their bags around. So that is also been extended to this situation here, where it is considered that only the politically exposed persons and politicians deserves to not only be protected, but actually to also enjoy the benefit of the resources of the country before any other person. Not even people that are the frontline workers and the ones that are also exposed to the higher implication of contracting COVID-19. So the sick and the ones who have serious underlying ailments are not even be considered. I know the vaccination in Lagos was meant to even start today, but I visited one of the centers, so I personally wanted to see if it was going to advertise by registering to receive the jab today, where the jab was going to be dispensed. Nothing happening. There was actually no medical official or personnel to deal with it. Because the announced date is said to be between the 12th and the 24th of March, which is starting from today. But there was nothing that happened at the center where visited, and my name was also registered. I was given an appointment for today at 10 o'clock in the morning. But up to 12 o'clock, the nurse at the health center does not even have any information as to when it's going to start. Saturday and Sunday, which is tomorrow and next fall, nothing is going to happen. So out of the 10 days that has been officially announced, for the administering of the vaccine, 3 days are already gone without anything happening in terms of the vaccination. So you would be surprised that the better part of these days would possibly be used in vaccinating some politically exposed person and politicians, some influential persons in the society who can bribe and pay the official, as it is being done with the testing. And at the same time, just hoarding deliberately the vaccination to create scarcity, artificial scarcity, and then exploitation of the citizens.
Okay, I hear you loud and clear, but there is a school of thought that says that, yes, let our president, vice president, politically exposed persons take it so that it can serve as a tonic or encouragement for the other people who have some sort of skepticism, you know, about the vaccine to be able to embrace it.
No, I totally agree with that school of thought. And that is actually just limited to the president, the vice president, possibly even members of their family, the governor, the deputy governor, even local government chairmen who can do that kind of also display for their local community so that the grassroots can also be employed, encouraged and mobilized to receive the vaccine. That is number one. Number two, I mean, there's a limit to how much of what you want to even mobilize people. We've just got about 4 million doses of the vaccine. How many people are you mobilizing? So if you end up mobilizing, let us even say, for instance, 20 million people, how do you want to meet the demand? How do you want to then cope? So I mean, so there's a balance to be struck, given to the politicians to encourage. Really does not include every Tom, Dick, and Harry in politics. If we go by that, it means that we might only end up vaccinating only politicians. If we go by that, I mean, you're talking about 774 local government officials. That is just at the local government level. Those are chairmen. By the time you have the councillors of each of the local governments, so this number, and you add the numbers of the each houses of assembly in the 36 states, and you have the governors and their family and deputy and their families, and then you go to the federal level, we won't have anything left of the 4 million that you're talking about.
That's correct. As a matter of fact, somebody else also pointed to the fact that we're really talking about 2 billion because they have to take the first and the second doses, you know?
Yeah. I mean, that's a yeah.
Yeah.
If the country and the NCDC or the National Primary Healthcare Development Agency is not making provision to receive another consignment in the next 1 to 2 months, then it means the second jab will only be coming from this same 4 million that we currently have. But if there is a plan, a concrete arrangement to receive another batch of the vaccine in the next 1 month or thereabout, then they can still afford to actually vaccinate about 400 people before it is time for the second dose.
All right, it's the Spirit of Nigeria Radio, and we have been conversing with Solari Suraj, Deputy Coordinator ASCAP Lagos and Chairman IDA Resource Center. And I think that it's been making a lot of sense in terms of analyzing extreme COVID-19 generally and the COVID-19 vaccine in Nigeria. All right, are you still there, Mr. Suraj?
Very much, yeah. I'm still very much.
Okay, so as we wind down and wind up, because we must finish before the top of the hour, let's now look at way forward. We've agreed, okay, vaccine is good, it's preventive, it's going to help us in terms of herd immunity. Where do we go from here as a nation? 2 million, 4 million, it's grossly inadequate. So what would be your own piece of advice to government? I know you said that, you know, we must be proactive to ensure that we get, you know, more vaccines in the next 1 or 2 months, so that even those that have taken their first dose will not be taking those, you know, for some other set of people. What would be your advice if you were to sit down with the presidential task force right now? What would you be saying to them?
What I would be saying to them is that we've missed another great opportunity to actually prepare Nigeria and also some of our states, even not all some, let me say all of the states of the Federation to deal with our health sector by preparing the health facilities in the country for unexpected eventualities that we just had with the COVID-19. We have the health system that is ill-prepared, and it was not in any way taken as a serious matter after the COVID or during the COVID to actually upgrade our both primary and secondary, including tertiary health facilities, to deal with the situation, except for few states like Lagos, Abuja, for instance, more specifically. And I think of other few states like Osun, that is outside Lagos. Most of the other states of the Federation were ill-prepared, and they're still getting out of the pandemic without any tangible or concrete program of reviewing our healthcare facilities, the social welfare security for the citizens and the people. And that should be a very strong, greater priority for the government. And in terms of the vaccine, over time, people will get to realize that the conspiracy theories and some of our political and religious opportunists that are trying to take advantage of the vulnerability of the people to misinform them about the efficacy of the vaccine, the implication of the virus itself, will come around and then also be part of the process. And the government and the presidential task force must not allow for us to get to that stage where scarcity will create undue pressure on the people. And the officials will then become, you know, marketers who will be taking advantage of that pressure to extort the vaccine adulterate even the dispensation of the vaccine, or the production of low quality vaccine in the system. And because the producers of such fake and ineffective medication only take advantage of scarcity and high unsatisfied demand, and also sometimes even the literacy of the people to start the production and also the selling of such medication. And this must be protected, I mean prevented, and the people must be protected from falling victim of such situations.
All right, okay. My very last question, since you are the deputy coordinator ASCAP Lagos, would you be advising Governor Babajide Sanwo-Olu to come down, reduce the price of COVID tests in Lagos, given what you've described as a fact in terms of poor performance in terms of testing for COVID in Lagos? So we're situating this in Lagos. Would you be advising the governor? Do you think a reduction in the price or in the cost of COVID tests would ameliorate the situation which you described earlier?
I think the situation has actually advised both the government, both of Lagos State and at the federal level, that the exorbitant cost of testing has also been largely responsible for the increasing number of infections and even including the deaths in Lagos, Abuja, in other places, because not everybody can afford it. Usually the prices of this testing and medication of this nature are usually determined by government officials based on the status and class of those that are considered to be of high need in terms of the test. So the cost of testing is fixed at that, you know, ridiculous amount, because it is considered in their own usual myopic consideration for each like this, that travelers who can afford to buy 300,000, 500,000 naira worth of air tickets should be able to afford, you know, 50,000 naira cost of testing. And that resulted in the high patronage for fake testing outfits, and even some of the approved laboratories became parties in the fake certification and the rest of that. So I think by now, government at the federal and the state of Lagos by now should have realized that it is really not working for people to be subjected to that high amount, and people would have a way out, would definitely exploit that. So stopping the fake certification and the patronage, it is not only about enforcement through sanctions. It is also about considerate pricing of the services. And the consideration for only travelers without adequate consideration for the implication of that amount for the standard of the living of the average people of the state will determine how much people would want to either patronize or consider it an option when there's a need to do it.
All right, okay. Before we go, very final, I like to balance it. What if government says to you, we have free testing centers?
No, there are really no free testing centers in the real sense of it. Yeah, so you have in Lagos, for instance, the only free center that is functional is the Nigerian Institute of Medical Research, where you can actually go to have the test to have your results. And that has also been done in such a way that you don't get that result, even though that result you can get under 24 hours or maximum 48 hours, it is deliberately done that you don't get that result in 90 until about 96 hours after the test. And the deliberate theme of that is to ensure that people who are traveling out of the country do not use that as for traveling purpose. Because the traveling condition is that you must conduct the test within 72, and now I think they've moved it to 96 hours. And that is the result that you present at the point of traveling. So to make sure that you patronize the commercial testing center, you don't get the result until after 96 hours. So it becomes useless for you as a traveler. The other point is, it also is, unfortunately, even the spread of the disease. So if I suspect that I am positive and I go for the test and I don't get a result in 96 hours, so imagine the number of people that would have contracted the virus through the patient before 96 hours that the result will come out positive or otherwise. And if you come in contact with even a carrier without knowing, and you just go for test, basically because you have some symptoms, the result doesn't come out. And you go to the local government, I can tell you, without sense of any fear of contradiction, that all the local governments are not carrying out any test anymore. The officials would rather go, if you're ready to play ball, go there. They will tell you that they are coming to test you at home, and they make you pay the official price or negotiate to pay a little lower than the official 50,000 naira plus, where they then claim to have tested you, and also encourage you to get all the members of your family tested because you have been in contact with them. And they also charge you for each of these so-called tests. So the state is not monitoring to ensure that you have unimpeded and smooth administration of the testing at the local government. As it is now, that level of testing has totally collapsed in terms of providing free testing services for the people.
All right, certainly it's been a very pleasurable time with you reviewing COVID-19 and the COVID-19 vaccine in Nigeria. And we've been conversing with Mr. Larry Suraj, coordinator ASCAP Lagos. Certainly, Mr. Suraj, there's a lot of work for ASCAP, you know, as it relates to COVID-19 and the vaccine in Nigeria, especially Lagos, where you superintend. Thank you very much for being a part of our country review on COVID-19 vaccine on Spirit of Nigeria Radio. I'm sure we'll check again to see developments as it relates to COVID-19 vaccine distribution and implementation. Thank you, and thank you, and thank you again. Very much appreciated.
Thank you so much.
All right.
Spirit of Nigeria Radio, bringing Nigerians in diaspora up to speed.